In Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 24, says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost after my that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, we ask now you touch us, Lord, for just a few minutes as we bring the message, Lord, you've laid upon our heart for this morning. I pray most of all, Heavenly Father, if there's one amongst us this morning, Lord, that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, today would be the day of salvation. I ask, Lord, you guard my lips. Let me say nothing more, nothing less than what you'd have said in this place this morning. And God, we ask you bless these people, your children, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, I want to give you a little backstory here about where we're at in Genesis. And we all know the story of Jacob and Esau being twins and all that. And Jacob had actually stolen the birthright and the blessing of his father and had been on the run for a little while. And as we get into chapter 32 of Genesis here, we're getting into a point in time where Jacob and Esau are about to come back together. And Jacob is scared to death for what he's going to be facing when he meets his brother. Now, his brother was very bitter over the birthright and the blessing of his father being stolen from him. And for a lot of time, Jacob had been on the run. And if you read the first few verses before our text this morning, you will find out that Jacob sent his wife, his children, and all before him on over to go meet Jacob before he got there. And I guess if I had a title to this morning's message, the title of it would be "Limping But Led by God." Jacob was limping, but led by God. Now, the first thing I want you to see here in verse 24 was Jacob was in a very, very desolate, very desperate place because he's fixing to meet up with his brother that he knows has been angry with him for a very long time. And so Jacob sent his family and all of his livestock and cattle and everything else on before him to go meet his brother before he got there, because Jacob was very scared of the circumstances that was about to become him when he met with his brother. Now, a lot of times in our life, God will get us alone in a place, and we may not exactly like being alone in where God has us. But a lot of times, God has to get us alone in that place to prepare us for what is coming before us. Now, Jacob here, again, we've already mentioned, he is very nervous and very scared about what his brother is going to do to him when he meets him again for the first time after all these years. And a lot of times, God has to get us alone to prepare us for what we're fixing to face. Now, I want to go ahead this morning right off the bat and break some theology for you. A lot of we've heard our whole lives, God will not put more on us than we can stand. I'm here to tell you this morning, that is a lie. That is a lie. God will put more on you than you can hold, because how else, sister and brother, would we know to turn and trust and lean on God if he didn't put more on us than we could stand? If I could handle everything, I'm not going to go to God for nothing. And Jacob is in a place in his life where he's got more on him than he knows what to do. He is scared that, hey, he is in fear of his life that his brother may very well kill him for what he had done these years ago. So God had to get him alone. I've got good news for you this morning. If you're sitting in a place alone, get ready. God's about to do something very big in your life. Hey, I got into a place 8.5 years, 9 years, that, brother, I could go to church service after church service. I could be around some of the most godly people. I could be around friends. I could be around family. But I felt like I was on an island all by myself, all alone. And I asked God every day, God, why? God, why? God, why? I need something from you in this time of alone. Hey, 8.5, close to 9 years is a long time to go without hearing the voice of God, without feeling the presence of God, being around some of the most wonderful people you can be around, but still feeling like you're all alone. But God was preparing me for something that I did not know was coming. And for God to prepare us, just as he did Jacob here, he got him alone. If you're sitting in you may be here this morning in one of the deepest, darkest valleys you've ever been in your life. Hey, you may be riding the mountaintop. You may be on the way up the mountain. Wherever it is that God's got you this morning, he's got you in that spot because he is preparing you for something great that is coming in your life. And you may be sitting here this morning, you say, well, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the situation. Hey, you're right, I don't have to, but we have an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful God that knows everything, and there's nowhere that you can go, there's nowhere that you've already been, that he hasn't already been there. Already making a way, making preparations for you and I to face the battles and the struggles and the trials in our life. Now, Jacob's sitting over here, and in the middle of being all alone, God sends an angel by. And they get, for a lack of better words, we're all here in North Georgia. Most of us, a bunch of good old country folk like I am, they got in a wrestling match. And all night long, they wrestled. Now, I remember as a kid growing up watching wrestling. It wasn't wrestling, it was wrestling on TV. And them boys would whoop each other. Beating each other with chairs, cutting each other's head up, throwing each other out the ring and all that. And those matches lasted about 20, 30 minutes. And then, you know, of course, we all look back now. We know it was all staged and all that. But all night long, Jacob is wrestling with an angel. And his thigh gets knocked out of joint. Now, you may have to wrestle with your problems for a little while. Hey, he had to wrestle all night. It said all night long until the breaking of the dawn, he wrestled with this man. The Bible says we wrestle not against principalities and all this other stuff, but we wrestle against our own flesh. Hey, you want to know who the biggest critic of Kevin Cantrell is? You're looking at him. It's that man I look at in the mirror every morning. I am my own worst enemy and I am my own worst critic. But I serve a God that regardless of where I've been, what I've done, he's never not been faithful. When I'm unfaithful to him, he's still faithful to me. That's the God that we serve. And here's Jacob all night long wrestling. Hey, that valley you're in, that alone time you're in, you may have to wrestle with it for a little while. But you'll find out that some things are going to change. Look with me in verse number 28. Now, they've been in this tussling and wrestling match all night, and they finally just both said, all right, that's about enough of that. And Jacob says, hey, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I need some help out of all this. You've got me in a bad way here. I'm sitting here and my thigh's out of joint. And I need some blessing right here. And so he asked Jacob. He said, well, what's your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. And he says, some things are going to change from this very moment forth. And when God gets you in a place and you start coming out of that deep, dark valley, or you start coming out of that storm in your life or whatever, hey, it's already been made mention this morning about all this destruction that's went on. Can you imagine being in the eye and the core of all that destruction, what those people woke up to the very next morning? Hey, they lost everything they had, lost everything they knew. We heard some stories yesterday. One of the men that was there preaching at that that men's meeting yesterday was kind of up from the area up in the northeast corner of Georgia and North Carolina, and it was talking about all the destruction and stuff, and there's people that are actually still looking for family members. They haven't heard from them, can't find them, and they have faced all this destruction. They got up Friday morning, a little bit of rain, everything, it just seemed like a little storm coming through, and now they wake up Saturday morning and it's all gone. Have you ever been in a place in your spiritual life where you wake up one morning and it's all gone? You feel like you couldn't find God with the FBI. Or maybe you feel like God's left you. This is exactly where Jacob was. He said, "Lord, I'm fixing to have to go face my brother. And I'm scared of what's going to happen." Hey, no doubt those people in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, I saw this morning, got up into Virginia a little bit. They don't know what to do next. They're at a place to where they've threw their hands up and said, "Now what? Where do we go from here?" God's fixing to change some things for old Jacob. The first thing he changes is his name. Now, I'm not a very smart, not a very educated man. You can probably tell that by looking at me. So, when he changed his name to Israel, of course, anytime we hear the word Israel, we automatically think of the country, whatever. Well, I went and looked it up. And the word Israel means a prince with God. What a testimony to have. To be considered a prince by our Lord and Savior. He called him prince. But you know what's better than that? Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning. Pick up your cellular device, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, whatever. There's people all across this world that the only hope they have is all that money they have. We hear about these rich people all the time doing all these wonderful, great things, or what the world perceives as wonderful and great things. What better title to have than a child of God? What better thing to have than to be called a child of God? Hey, he called Jacob a prince. But I've got news for you. There's something better than being called a prince, a king, a queen, or whatever. That's being called a child of God. He changed some things for Jacob as he came out of this time wrestling all night with this angel and facing all this stuff that was going to happen. And he changed some things. And God's going to change some things for you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know and you don't understand." You're right, I don't. We could probably sit here all day long if we took the time this morning to go around and listen to everybody's problems and everybody's struggles, and we'd leave here depressed, sad, and our lip would be dragging the ground by the time we left here this morning. But we serve a God that's faithful. We serve a God that said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And brother, I want to tell you some good news this morning. Every time I've ever felt like God walked out on me, when I turned around, He was exactly where I left Him. It wasn't God that walked out on me. It was me walking out on God. And I always found Him the same way. Those arms stretched out, just waiting on me to come back home. And this is where Jacob had gotten to. Scared to death, wondering what in the world was fixing to happen. And God started changing some things. And then if you look in verse 30, it says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Again, not being a very educated man, I went and looked that word Peniel up. And it literally means the face of God. Now, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way. We've got some old timers sitting here this morning. And I think back, my grandmother, had she lived, would have been 103 next month if she was still alive. Sister, I can remember every morning, 4 o'clock, at Longwood. Got up and put a pot of coffee on. And while that coffee was brewing, She was doing this. And when that pot of coffee would get done, she'd go in there and make a cup, and she'd finish reading where she's at. Well, then she'd close that Bible. Now, my grandmother was about 5'4", probably weighed 350 pounds. She was as round as she was tall. But she'd get down on her knees beside that bed every morning, and she'd call. Now, she had 13 kids. 59 grandkids. Was it 59 we figured up the other night? 59 grandkids, 48 great-grandkids, and some great-greats. She called their name out every single morning. She didn't miss. I don't care how sick she was. I don't care what was going on around her. Every morning at 4 o'clock, that alarm went off. She started with a pot of coffee. She started with a Bible. And then she ended up on her knees praying for her children. Now, with that many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren and all, she'd always call them. And brother, she could do it. She'd start with the oldest kid, go down to the youngest, which was my mom. Then she'd start with the oldest grandkid, go down to the youngest. Then she'd start with the oldest great-grand and go down. She was faithful to God, and God was faithful to her. Now, later on in her life, as she got into her early 80s, she got Alzheimer's and dementia real bad. And at 86, God called her home. And the last 6-7 years of her life, she was in a nursing home. And I always kidded around with all my cousins. My mama was the baby, and I was the firstborn of my mama. So I always told all my cousins that I was the favorite grandkid because I was the baby's firstborn. And so my grandmother and I had a very special relationship. And I would go see her a lot. Even after I got old enough to start driving and working, I'd still go see my grandmother. She was a hero in the faith to me because of her faithfulness. I wanted to have her faithfulness to God. Now, my grandmother come from meager beginnings. And I can still remember stories that my grandmother and my uncles and aunts and all would tell. They lived in a 30 by 30 house with 13 kids, my grandmother and my grandfather. Dirt floors and one window and one door in the house. But they made it work through the love of God because God had changed. My grandfather was one of the meanest men in Bartow County for years. Mean as a striped snake. But before my grandmother was praying for kids, she was praying for her husband. And God saved my grandfather. And when he saved my grandfather got real faithful to God. And then, of course, time went on. They had all the children and all the rest of the family. But about the last 3 or 4 years, my grandmother's memory got so bad. Some days she could remember who you was, some days she couldn't. Well, one of the last times I went to see her, she couldn't remember who I was. And I told my mom, I said, I'll not go back and see her because that's not the memory I'm going to have of her. 3 days before she'd passed, my mom went down to see her, and she didn't know my mom. And so my mom was talking to her and asking, and she said, well, Mama, she said, what do you remember about anything? And she lifted them little feeble 86-year-old hands up, and she said, I remember a God that didn't forget me in all my time and trouble. She said, I remember a God that saved a mean old husband that I was married to. And she said, I remember a God that saved all 13 of my kids. She said, and he saved a lot of my grandkids. She said, I ain't got to see them all saved. She said, but I know he's going to save them all. Didn't know who she was, but she didn't forget who he was. Hey, that's the God we serve this morning. He's going to change some things. I know that was a long story to get around to this. I can remember hearing my grandmother, because I asked her one day, I was probably 12, 13 years old. And so after she would get done with that routine in the morning, she would go fix breakfast. I always made them big old buttermilk cat head biscuits, whole hog sausage, gravy, scrambled eggs. And usually if there's any kind of fruit or vegetables in, she'd have that as well. And one day she was in the kitchen cleaning up after breakfast. And I went in there and I sat down in that old, you remember them old wood chairs with like the old basket weave seats in them that had like the three runner backs on them? I went and crawled up in that chair and I just pushed it. Now, at 12 years old, I was still pretty tall, but I wanted to be beside my girl. I went and stood that chair up and I got on it on my knees like this. And she's over there washing them dishes up. And I said, Granny, I said, I want to ask you a question. Now, she lived with us up until she got pretty bad sick and we had to put her in a nursing home. I said, every morning at 4 o'clock, that alarm clock goes off and you go through the same routine morning after morning after morning. It don't change. Her routine was as solid as the sun rising every morning. She done the same thing. And I said, why do you do that? And big old tears fell down her eyes. And she said, because I've seen the face of God when I'm on my knees. She said, I felt the hand of God when I'm talking to Him. She said, I've experienced the presence of God when I get in communion with Him. Been a while since you felt God? When's the last time you went and talked to Him? See, we get so busy. We live in a microwave society. Everybody wants everything done at the push of a button. Everybody wants everything done now. We don't want to wait. That's the problem. People's got too far away from porch swings and rocking chairs and just watching the sun go down in the evening, and we got to worry about what's going on. And we're waiting on God to talk to us. When's the last time we went and talked to God? Jacob spent all night. And the first thing he did, he said, God. Because he saw His face. And you say, well, preacher, have you seen the face of God? Every child of God has seen the face of God at the moment they come to know Him. Go back to the day you got saved. For some of us, it may just be recently. Like, say, I'm 51, got saved when I was 8 on Tuesday night at Vacation Bible School. Not real good at doing the math real quick. That's 40-plus years. I remember when I walked in that pastor's office that night and I told him, I said, preacher, I'm on the way to hell and I don't want to go. And he got me down on the right-hand side of that desk and he led me to God. And I remember my life changed. And the moment my life changed was because the face of God got real, real with me that night, that Tuesday night of that Vacation Bible School. You tired of being miserable? Tired of all the trouble and trials of this old world? When's the last? And I'm not talking about, Lord, I just hope You watch over me today and keep me safe and let's go on about the day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm talking about got real, real. There's a man of God that was very inspirational in my life in my teens and early 20s. Dr. Paul R. Levine, he's gone to glory now. And he was preaching one night, and he made a statement while he was preaching, and it didn't really register to me. So after the service was over with, I went to him, and I said, Dr. Levine, I said, I've got a question. I said, you made a statement tonight about praying till you're through. He said, no, you didn't listen right. He said, that's the problem with most prayers. We pray till we're through. He said, I said, pray through. And if you'll go pray till you get through. I didn't say pray until you're through. Pray until you get through. God will do something in your life like He's never done before. You say, preacher, how do you know? I can take you time after time. I've got over in my little prayer closet. I've got a little rock altar right outside the door of our house. I can take you to time after time I've been to that rock altar. Or been in my prayer closet. And brother, when I went in there, this is what I said to God. I said, I ain't leaving until You show up. I'm not leaving here until I feel it. When's the last time you got that real with God? Jacob did it. Spent all night. See, we pray till we're getting through. And we didn't give God a chance to get through. Verse 31 says, And he passed over Peniel as the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Go look that word halted up. It literally means he was limping. Now, I'm going to go ahead and spoil the story for you, those that don't know it. You go on into chapter 33, and you'll find that when Jacob and Esau come back together, it was a wonderful thing. Jacob was giving up, trying to give all this stuff to his brother, you know, basically trying to make up for everything that happened. And his brother made a statement. He said, keep what you have, because I have enough. As long as we've got God in our life, we've got enough. And no doubt, now, I challenge you, because I've looked. Go read the rest of Genesis, and go read your Bible all the way to Revelation, and find out where God ever healed Jacob's thigh. You won't find it. I'm of the opinion that for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. You can go over to 2 Corinthians 12. Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove that thorn out of his flesh. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. God never removed that thorn out of Paul's thigh, or out of his flesh. Sometimes God's got to leave little reminders. He's got to leave little reminders of when he had to get your attention. I think for the rest of his life, that's what old Jacob did. And every time he felt that pain, God reminded him of something. He took him back to that night that he wrestled with angels. And every time Joseph walked, he'd just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for the pain. Lord, thank you for being real. And he limped the rest of his life. But if you go study the rest of Genesis, you find out Jacob was a very blessed man. God told him, he said, your seed shall be more than the numbers of the grain on the sand. Anybody ever tried to count sand? Them grains are pretty small. We went to the beach several years ago, and I was just looking up and down the beach. It's three or four, you could see 3 or 4 miles in either direction. I just picked up a handful of sand. I quit counting 1,000 and hadn't even made a dent in what was going on. And God promised Jacob that his seed would be more than the numbers of the grain of the sand. Jacob lived a blessed man, but he lived with a reminder of when God got a hold of him and got real, real in his life. I don't have a sad story to tell. This past July, it was 13 years ago, I lost my best friend. 22 years, my mom fought breast cancer off and on. Died 1 week shy of 56. Ain't a doubt in my mind, because I know that woman prayed for me every day, morning and evening. And brother, if I hadn't rung her phone by about 6:30, 7 o'clock every night, I'd get a call. Hey, you all right? Yes, ma'am, I'm fine. I just hadn't heard from you today. I'd give anything for the phone to ring. Boy, are you all right? I just ain't heard from you. And when that prayer warrior died in my life, there was an 8.5 year of my life, nearly 9, that I wrestled. About 4 years ago, God showed me his face. Now, I still got the limp of not having my mama with me. But I serve an almighty God that's real. I serve an almighty God that's faithful. I serve an almighty God that's made. Hey, find me a promise in that Bible that he's broke. You won't find a one. Don't hold me to these numbers, but I think it's over 400 promises in that Bible. And he ain't never broken one. There's only one of them that ain't been fulfilled yet, but it's a coming. And in that Bible, he tells me, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You wondering why you got that limp? It's just a reminder from God
when he got real, real in your life. You may be in that season of time where you're wrestling right now. As the musicians come and start to play something, play just as soft as you can this morning. You may be in a time of your life this morning to where you're like Jacob was in the beginning of our scripture this morning. You're wrestling. And you're wondering. Because you're as Jacob was, you're faced with something you don't know the outcome of. Jacob didn't know what Esau was going to do. You may be sitting here this morning faced with something you don't know the outcome of, and you're scared to death of what's going to happen. And you're in that wrestling season of your life. You may be sitting here this morning and you've seen the face of God. God's touched that thigh. And you're wondering, like Paul did there in 2 Corinthians, Lord, why don't you remove this thorn from my flesh? Maybe you just needed a reminder this morning that God's grace is sufficient. You go to 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it's starting about verse 7 through 10. It said Paul prayed three times. God told him, I ain't going to remove it because your grace is sufficient. You needed a reminder. Setting this altar and look for the face of God and say, Lord, I'm not leaving until I know. I'm not leaving until you get through. As we stand this morning, as they play, these altars are open, you come do business with the Lord this morning.